TID plan. Item C2, TID District Number 7. Mr. Rossman. Or Coons. Ms. Berg.
Okay, the project plan before you for TID Number 7 is an overlay which will be fully within the boundaries of existing TID Number 5. The purpose of TID Number 7 will be for the Mandel Group to build 265 apartments with the possible addition of some future residential in future phases of the project. You have the project plans before you. We've had many discussions about this project. We are all here if you have any additional questions or comments.
Joint Review Board, which consists of the four taxing entities, because the state doesn't do it anymore. Four taxing entities, they met, discussed the plan, reviewed it thoroughly. Most of these are financial people from the school district, MATC.
Correct. It was an uneventful JRB meeting. There were no objections. There were no concerns expressed. And that body is planning to meet again on May 30th, pending the outcome of tonight's meeting.
And Chairman of the Plan Commission here. The Plan Commission reviewed this for the Plan Commission items on the plan, and they unanimously approved it as well. Any questions for staff? Alderman Mayor.
On this one, Paula Total, Capital Land Trust.
So, Alderman, on page 26 of the project plan before you indicates the total amount of potential tax increment that would be collected from this district to be $26.5 million. So that's the sum total of all the dollars available. The project costs included in this project plan, which appears for summary appears for you on page 27, indicates there are three major components of project costs in this particular project. There is a $3.2 million contribution towards the infrastructure costs in all ballpark commons, but within 1/2 mile of the apartments. There is a municipal revenue obligation to the Mandel Group for $14.9 million paid over 20 years. There are some administrative costs of about $350,000, and there is interest on the $3.2 million project costs of $2.8 million. So that's the sum total of all the project costs. There is a 10-year mortgage that has been requested by Mandel to this. The city would loan $4.5 million to Mandel for a period of 10 years. Mandel would pay interest on that loan at 6%. It's anticipated that the city can go out and borrow that money with a cost of about approximately 3.5%. So the city will actually make some increment on that loan. But the increment is going to be paid for by the taxes coming out of this property. It's anticipated that the apartment complex, the 265 units, would have an assessed value of $47 million once they're completely constructed and occupied.
So that would give us the total between TID 5 and TID 7 that the public is on the hook for if things go wrong at $71 million.
I'll trust your math, yes.
That's what we talked about. So a total of $71 million. Now, this is a residential TID. I can see some TID. You talked about the industrial park. I think that was a very good one. I believe it's the most successful in the state. I'm good with that. This one's residential. These apartments are going to need city services immediately. I agree with one of our comments out there. They're going to receive the services of a standing fire department with a budget of about $6 million a year. They receive the standing services, or the services of a standing police department, which is about $9 million a year, and they won't be paying for any of that. That won't pay for this. That pays for others, for the capitals, not for the operations. and over the course of 20 years. Our citizens in November were asked if they wanted to pass a referendum to pay for police officers. It would have been $531,000 a year, which came out to about $15 per $100,000 household. I don't know who has a $100,000 household. It would be more than that. But the citizens turned down that referendum for $531,000 a year. This is substantially more than that. They said no to the police officers. We've reduced some services since then of the police officers. They said no. We have school district referendum from time to time. Within the next 10 years, it's very probable there will be a large school referendum. School referendums in a TID district go to the district. They don't come out and support the district. So this is in the Franklin School District. So that would be all of the Franklin School District residents, taxpayers, that would pay for a school district referendum. Yet the 265 apartments would have somewhere around 20 school-age children based on the formula the school district uses. And they'll be getting all those services for the school district without paying for it for 20 years. Plus I was against the apartments to begin with, and I don't believe in TIDs for residential, so I would vote no on this one. Mr. Taylor, did you want to make a comment there?
Let's not.
I heard your animal noise over there.
That's not over there.
Outside.
Alderman the Mayor, I'm going to forward to the council the distribution of students by housing type that I received, I think it's a month ago, from the district, just so everybody has the accurate numbers. We've got to do some calculation to figure out what the housing number of housing types is, but we'll have the number of students per housing type. Alderman Willem.
Well, we do have a TIF that has residential in it already. That's TID 4 down by where Wheaton Ascension.
I voted no for that as well.
Just wanted to point that out.
Mayor, you had your hand up again.
I did. Using the calculations from the school district of 0.154 school-age children per unit gives us... kids. The school tax levy is $34 million. So dividing that by the number of kids in the school district comes out to what, $7,000 per student. That's not a direct cost, that's the entire levy, but when you divide it up by the number of students there, that's $7,000 a student. 7,000 times 40 is $285,000. Is that humorous, Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Anyone else?
Good.
Anyone else?
Alderman budget.
Alderman Nelson.
One of the things that I'm getting from calls on and emails is the demand. And I don't know if the representative from Manil could maybe speak on this, as I see him there with I'm envious of his tie. Because I'm a big pink proponent. But the demand. The question is we're putting out this grandiose number of 265, and I use that term carefully because of the amount of building that's going on with apartments. Is that demand there to fill this void where we're saying 265 brings in X amount of millions of dollars and blah, 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 yet we're seeing all this building going up? I'm wondering where these people are coming from that are looking to move into these apartment-style residences, not by single-family residences, not by condominiums, but are looking to rent in a community, and that how confident, and when I say confident, we look for, you know, stats, charts, graphs, and facts, that can bolster or justify the means. If we're going to put this risk out there, I mean, I get a number of calls and a lot of, you know, emails that are just trying to say, hey, look, what's your view on this? And my view is, how I get the education from like gentlemen like Mr. Rotzenberg. And I'm just looking for some guidance here. I'm looking for something that you can substantiate this, because this is a big risk. I mean, we have a lot of apartments going up. I don't know if we're going to allow them to speak on this or if we can.
Without objection, Mr. Martin, you want to comment?
Sure. Where would you like me to comment?
Be sure the one microphone.
The last working one.
Placement system's out for a bit.
Thank you. So the demand, I think it's a demand question, but I think there was also a risk question embedded in that. And so I'll take the risk one because that one's a little easier, and then I'll get into the demand piece of it, and I'll try not to bore everybody with sort of wonkish demographics. But on the risk piece of it, the apartment project is a municipal revenue obligation, or PAYGO. So the risk on the city, the risk on the taxpayer, doesn't exist in that we don't get any payments unless we actually create the tax value. And so when you analyze this risk compared to some other structures that you might have with the TIF, it's different, and it's different in a material way. So if we build it, we create the tax value, we get paid. If we don't build it, we don't get paid. Some terms in the development agreement are we've exchanged drafts and we're still working on it, but one of the elements of the development agreement that's been agreed to and we've not negotiated is the priority of payment for the tax increment that comes in from the apartments. And so in that priority of payment, the city gets paid, not just the administration fee to administer the TIF. The city gets paid their debt service on the city loan, which Paul mentioned. The city also gets paid as a priority the $3.2 million GO bond issue that pays for other public infrastructure improvements in both TID 5 and TID 7 within a half-mile radius, like Paul said. And only then does Mandel Group get a check. So if you want to do a deep dive on the risk, the truth is we've structured this deal in this case, as we have some others, to be as risk managed as a TIF can be from a municipal standpoint. So that's the risk part of it. From a demand part of it, in our world, the demand analysis is based on a number of factors, all of which are kind of demographic driven. So one element we look at is what is the population, what's the population growth, what are the jobs, what are the job growth, and then what is the supply within a relevant trade area. So those are all the sort of basic factors we look at. I hear in a lot of meetings, and I think it's a fair, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, with your demand analysis, that how did you come up with 265? Are we going to get there? I didn't want to.
Yeah. No, well, we came up with a much higher number than 265. We came up with something, I think, over 800 units of demand. So that was our internal analysis. That
800 units of demand?
Over 800.
Wait a minute. Let's be clear. You weren't coming with a proposal for 800 units.
No.
The analysis said that the market could absorb 800 units.
That's correct. That was our internal analysis. So to supplement our analysis, there were other third-party studies that were done to sort of back-check our analysis. I think I didn't commission these. These were commissioned by other folks, but Pete Magenberg, who I think is one of the most well-respected local appraisers and analysts in the multifamily industry, projected a demand well over 265 as well. I think that document and that analysis, I can't remember the specific demand projection, but it was well over 265, and I think that's on the city website. And it's been, yeah. So that's publicly available information. So if you want to back check on my own internal research, that's where it's at. On the issue of there's apartments being built everywhere, I get it. I agree with it.
Amazing.
It keeps us awake at night. I mean, it is the issue that that as an apartment developer, owner, investor, operator, you worry about a lot. So there are some submarkets in the Milwaukee metro that you'll not see us do a deal in. And subject to very unique situation, right? So the deals I've worked on recently, I did a deal in Fox Point. The project I did in Fox Point was the first project that had been done in Fox Point in over 30 years. There just wasn't much supply. A deal in West Dallas that I did recently, which had a TIF and financial incentive that would be on steroids compared to this one. What attracted me that particular transaction, amongst other things, was there was no supply. Nobody had delivered new units into that market. When you look at the Franklin submarket, there is minimal new construction in Franklin. So
for apartments.
That's right, for apartments.
Single family.
So then the question is, okay, why do people rent apartments as opposed to buy single family homes? When you look at the average single family home cost in Franklin, it's substantial. And that's one of the appeals about this town is that it has wonderful demographics. It's an affluent community. It's a well-educated community. And that's part of why we wanted to be here. However, without boring everybody with all the stuff you already read in the newspapers, the reality is our renters come from two population segments predominantly. One is millennials. Millennials come out of college with more student debt than ever in the history of the country. Millennials buy homes at a later date than ever before in this country's history. So whereas it would have been common for a 27-year-old to buy a home, that doesn't happen anymore. And that's reflected in home ownership rates. When you look at household formation, which is a fancy way of saying people getting married and having kids, that happens at a less frequent rate and much later in life than it ever has in this country's history before. So when you roll all those factors up, and those are the empirical ones that you can actually put numbers on, there's another piece of it that people don't talk about a lot, but I think is relevant, which is a lot of millennials live through the recession, this last recession, watching their parents not realize the value they thought they had in their home, right? So it's sort of a sad story, but I would say when I was growing up, and I just missed the millennial thing by a couple years, but
like a month,
a little bit longer than that. But when I was growing up, I was sort of trained that hey, a home is a big investment for you. It's your main investment. It's an accretive investment. So you buy a home and you live there for 20 years, and it grows in value. I think what the millennials experienced was that's not necessarily true anymore. And so is this a general sort of unquantifiable, to be fair, but a general sentiment amongst millennials that home ownership is not this amazing investment that they thought it was going to be, or perhaps their parents thought it was going to be. The other piece that happened in the recession, again, it's unquantifiable, but it's real. Millennials watched their parents lose jobs, and what that meant was all of a sudden it became tougher to make mortgage payments. And you saw a lot of households go through a pretty tough time where people were worried about making a mortgage payment and keeping a roof over the head. So the idea that, you know, in the 1970s, 80s, maybe even 90s, that owning a home was a great sign of stability, a great economic investment, that sentiment is not held widely amongst millennials. In fact, it's not held at all, really. So those aren't quantifiable, but those are real factors, I think. So that's the millennial group. Those people, that's why they're renting apartments and not buying homes. It's the just the general inability to buy a home in a place like Franklin, and also the fear of owning a home. Now, I will tell you that we lose, when I look at our turnover rate at our apartments, we beat, you know, the industry averages, you can expect about, call it half your units to turn over after every lease expires. We do a little bit better than that, meaning more people renew. But when we lose millennials in a renewal situation, it's because they buy homes. And they buy homes in the communities in which they're renting. So if we own an asset in Franklin, my expectation is about half the millennials we rent to, we'll get them for a year, maybe 2 years, but they rent here because they want to be here. You know, either from here, they have jobs here, or they just generally like the idea of owning a home in Franklin. So that's part of the appeal on the demand side for Franklin. The other piece of it is the empty nester demographic. There is a large and growing trend out there of this country aging, and it's true in a more acute manner in Wisconsin than in Milwaukee than it is anywhere else in the country almost. This population is aging. As the population age, there's fewer and fewer people that want the hassle of home ownership, right? So if you're an empty nester, you don't have any kids at home, you don't have the need for four bedrooms, the idea of going out and cutting the lawn or paying somebody to cut the lawn or plowing the snow, all that, starts losing a lot of its luster. A single-family home doesn't come with the services that a highly amenitized apartment project like this one can provide. So you can get up in the morning, take the elevator down to your heated parking spot. You can get up in the morning and walk to the clubhouse, get a cup of coffee, work out in the gym. It's just a more highly amenitized lifestyle with less maintenance than you get in a single-family home. I get a lot of comments and questions about, well, why not build condos, right? Because people want to buy condos. The answer to that is pretty straightforward. One, if you buy a condo and your dishwasher breaks, it's still on you to fix your dishwasher. If you live in a Mandel apartment community and your dishwasher breaks, you make a phone call, we have 24-hour maintenance, they come in, they fix it, it doesn't cost you anything. So even though it seems like it's similar in that it's a smaller, you know, unit in a bigger project, the reality is a condo still comes with significant maintenance responsibility. In a condo, you have to deal with the homeowners association, which comes with its own set of challenges that I won't expound on, but it's an issue. And then the last piece of it is, in the Milwaukee market, condo prices have been flat or declining over the last 10 to 15 years. So it's not an economic investment. So for that empty nester that forms probably our largest or close to our largest demographic cohort, apartment renting has a lot of appeal. So
thank you.
That's
thank
the
you.
Demand analysis.
Nothing further.
Any other questions? Alderman Barber, use your mic, please.
I just want to go on record saying that there isn't an alderman up here that doesn't understand that there's risk involved with this. There's also benefit involved with this. As I've talked to my constituents and did my due diligence going out, talking to them, getting other opinions, I think the community understands that this has a great benefit to the community, and most of the citizens that I talk to are looking for Franklin to move in a new direction and have opportunity for our citizens. So without having not had sleepless nights over it, which I'm sure all of us have had, I think we've all assessed the risk. We've gotten the best advice we can on the risk, and we're making decisions based upon what we feel is best for the people that voted for us, not the developer. Not necessarily being a rubber stamp, but I want to move on. I just want it on the record that I have not taken this lightly. I do not consider myself a rubber stamp, and I have prayed over it and lost sleep over it, and my actions are based on what I've done with my, or what I've talked to with my constituents.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution approving the project plan and establishing boundaries for and the creation of Tax Incremental District Number 7, City of Franklin, Wisconsin.
So moved.
Second.
With that.
Discussion? Madam Clerk?
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Yoho?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman
Taylor? Aye.
Motion carries. 5 ayes, no, 1 no, no absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion to adjourn?